To Cairo now. Progress and no progress in Egypt. The democratically elected parliament to rule under a new Egyptian constitution, restraining a new democratically elected president, has vanished into legal thin air. A court says that tinkering with an election law months ago invalidated the voting for the parliament, and the whole process must be redone, and the parliament itself is dissolved. Egyptians are not surprisingly demoralized or disgusted by this turn of events, especially as they are going to the polls this weekend to elect a new president, who now will take office as the sole leader of the country, an elected dictator. The new Egypt is starting to look a lot like the old Egypt. What is the feeling in Cairo as people head to the polls this weekend? We're on the line with David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome back to the program, David.
It's good to be here. So, good to be with you, I should say. A little bit mixed to be in Cairo right now.
Yeah, I'll bet. So, David, who are they voting for, a dictator or a president? What is the feeling? There's suddenly no lawmaking constraints on the presidency, even though in theory these parliamentary elections are supposed to be held again.
Well, this is a muddle. Really a muddle. We have a transition here under martial law led by military rulers who report to no courts and no constitution. They are operating with courts that they pretend to honor, who are filled with judges appointed by former President Hosni Mubarak. They're very political courts packed with Mubarak loyalists and deeply hostile to the Islamists of the Muslim Brotherhood. And this process has been limping along. The Islamists and the liberals in the political forces can't get together. There is no constitution. There's a scheduled handover of power at the end of this month, but there's no document in place to say what the powers of the president or the parliament would be. We're still waiting for the ruling generals who took over when Mubarak left to issue a new charter. And now, against this backdrop, we're faced with unexpectedly a runoff, a presidential runoff that pits the former prime minister under Mr. Mubarak, Ahmed Shafiq, who's basically campaigning as a strong man in the Mubarak mold, and he is opposed to the candidate of the Muslim Brotherhood. So there's sort of two conservative extremes, neither one of whom won a majority, but both of whom are the choices people face in this runoff. And against that backdrop, now comes the Supreme Court, packed with Mubarak loyalists, as I said, that swoops in at the 11th hour, right before the vote, and invalidates the whole parliament. It's a blow to the prestige and the power of the Islamists, probably a boost to Mr. Shafiq. And it means, as you say, that the president who wins could emerge as the ruler with no constitution and no legislature to check his power. To be sure, he won't be governing all alone because the generals aren't going anywhere. Whatever civilian took power would have to reckon with them in any event. But it really has raised the stakes of this presidential race. It's made it the sort of climactic battle of the whole, well, is it or isn't it a revolution, I guess.
Well, I want you to take me into the streets and give me a sense of the sentiment in Tahrir Square there. But before we do, if Ahmed Shafiq wins this presidential election, we quite literally, it seems to me, go back to the Mubarak era, yes?
That's the feeling. I don't know if it's quite like that. You know, if you look at history, it's very hard to just take away that sense of empowerment that people feel after events like the 18 days that ousted Mr. Mubarak. I'm not sure that Egyptians are going to so readily submit to the kind of dictatorial rule they did in the past. But he's been saying things like, Egyptians are obedient. In one month I can restore law and order. We'll execute the thugs. So it could be quite a tumultuous period.
What are the visuals down there on Tahrir Square? Is the army having a greater presence, the police anticipating something happening? What's the feeling on the street among people who are outraged by this? There were some demonstrations yesterday. I saw some of the video.
Yeah, there were some demonstrations, but light. You know, yesterday was a day of confusion. You know, the leaders of the Brotherhood were huddling and trying to figure out what their plans are. Their position is that the parliament is not dissolved, that the court doesn't have authority to do so, and they're ignoring it. There is an increased military presence in the street. Last week, the military-led government took the precaution of reinstating martial law, authorizing military officers to arrest civilians at will and take them to military courts. This afternoon will be a big test. It's quite hot these days in Egypt, and so the activists have called their Friday protest for 5 p.m. instead of right after prayers. So it could be a very rowdy night. In the past, elections have worked pretty well as a kind of safety valve here. They let people's emotions out as they should in at the ballot box. So it may be that people will be focused on the vote Saturday and Sunday instead of the protest tonight. But at this point, anything could happen. Anything could happen tonight, anything could happen in the vote, and who knows next week.
And you alluded at the beginning of this conversation to the idea that you were happy to speak with me, but you were a little bit nervous about being in Cairo. I mean, do you really fear for a broader sense of anarchy, even that we experienced last year?
No, I don't. It's not like Libya here. People don't have guns. Basically, the military still have a monopoly on the use of force. And so, you know, the worst kind of violence you see here are young people throwing stones, maybe Molotov cocktails. And weirdly, believe it or not, the police and the security forces often just throw stones and Molotov cocktails back. And they use birdshot. They don't use automatic weapons. So it's a kind of low-grade violence when it does happen in the streets. What's demoralizing, though, is the future of Egypt. I mean, it was an extraordinary time in January 2011, and it felt like, you know, 60 years of history had just been blown apart, that the whole paradigm of secular authoritarians holding down radical Islamists was blown away, and there was this a new world of possibilities opened up. I mean, it was so moving to see those people chanting in Tahrir Square, you know, hold your head high, you're an Egyptian. And now you just see people shaking their head and thinking, oh, you know, it was all a sham, we were played, the military has been in charge all along, and now we're stuck with Shafiq.
Or we have a scenario where the voting this weekend could really favor the Islamist candidate because they view this entire process as a way to suppress them, and winning the presidential election could be a real last step, final step for power there in Egypt for the Muslim Brothers. David Kirkpatrick, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
David Kirkpatrick is the Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, there from Cairo.